let's look in Psalms 127. Look in the first verse. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You can be seated this morning. Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And that again, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for just another good day that you've given us to come to your house. And Lord, we just ask now for a little while that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. Lord, we know that without you, we can do nothing today. And Lord, I know that I just need a touch of you today. And Lord, we're looking for your help as the song sung today. That Lord, that we're just looking for you to help us. And we know that our help comes from you. Lord, we ask if there's somebody here lost, that they'd get saved. Lord, before it's eternally too late, I pray that, Lord, that you'd touch the one that might need a little help, might need a little encouragement in the Word of God today, that it be found in you. Now, God, I beg of you as much as I know how, to touch us and anoint us afresh in that from heaven. For I cannot do this myself, Lord, nor in myself. And God, we thank you for all that you've done. God, help us now today, and we'll give you the glory for it all. I ask you to save that sinner's nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. All right, in Psalms chapter 127, as we look at the passage, you find something that both verses have in common. If you look in both verses, you find three times the word vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. And then he said, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. Now that word vain simply means empty or worthless. Something that has no substance. There's no fruit to it, or it's ineffectual. Something that is not satisfying. And so he said right here, the writer did, except the Lord build the house, then they labor in vain that build it. That's probably what I'm going to preach on this morning. But he talks about in verse 2, or the second part of verse 1, the watchman waketh in vain unless God does the work. And then he said, it's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. Now I understand that there is a time, and I preached on this over at the nursing home Friday, that there's a time for us to grieve. But friend, there comes a time when grieving ought to cease, and grieving ought to come to an end, and we quit eating the bread of sorrows and worrying ourselves about things that's out of our control anyway, because God's got control. If you look back in verse 1, and he said it's vain to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows. Now let me say that it's really just vain to rise early and to sit up late. I mean to give your beloved sleep. You know, your body is made to sleep. Now, my wife says that I don't sleep well sometimes. I sleep good. The problem is I'll fall asleep on the couch and sleep about 3 hours down there on an old wore-out couch, and I then go to bed, and then you spend about 2 hours trying to get back to sleep in the bed and toss and turn, and then you finally get to sleep. And just like this morning, the alarm clock goes off about the time I get back good to sleep. Man, I hate that alarm clock. Amen, don't you? But listen, he said right here, it's vain to do those things. But then I want you to look at it, having a thought quickly, that it's vain to do those things because of our worry and our concern. You know, some folk, they're just so worried and concerned about problems that's in their life and trouble that's in their life and concerns that's in their life that they can't sleep because of it. Let me ask you, have you ever let something worry you to death that you go to bed with it and you wake up with it and you dream about it while you're sleeping? Listen this morning. He said that it is vain and that to do those things, to eat the bread of sorrows. Hey, let me tell you what you do. You hold on and help will be here tomorrow. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm glad that I know on the authority of God's Word and of trying God's Word, I know that it's true. That, friend, I know help will be here. Amen.
I know we get concerned. I know we worry. But the Bible said that it's vain and that to do those things. We couldn't change it. No way. You know, the Lord asked that question over there one time. He said, can a man add anything to his stature? I mean, really, can you make yourself grow? Can you make yourself sure? Well, you can't do that. Then why would we worry about things? But I want you to look with me in the first part of verse 1 for just a minute. I want you to look, and I'll try to hurry and preach as quick as I can. And most of y'all know that ain't quick. But look right here in verse 1. And he said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to preach, having a thought for just a minute or two on except the Lord. Except the Lord does the work. Except the Lord, and that paves the road. Except the Lord opens the door, then nothing is going to get done.
Right.
Hey, listen, as we're fixing to shut the door on this last year, on 2017, I told you before that, listen, I've had a pretty good year. I've had a lot better year than I had last year. I mean, laid up in the hospital twice in 2016, and that's no fun. I'll be honest with you. And so this year has been a lot better year physically for you, preacher. But spiritually, it seems like that I've turned around and fought battle after battle. Mentally and spiritually, I've fought and fought. And listen, I'm looking for a better year this coming year than I've had this year. Amen. And listen, but there's one thing about it. Unless the Lord gives us that year, it's not going to be a good year. And so I want you to look with me right here quickly. I just got two little points. As my wife says, now don't tell us you got 2 points when you got 14 below them. Amen. Now listen. You, my wife ain't mean, by the way. But she just tells me how it is sometimes, Brother Lewis. She just tells me how it is. But listen, I want you to look, first of all, right here it says, except the Lord. Now, can I say that, first of all, whatever we set out to do, number one, that we need the blessing of the Lord on it. We need God's touch, whatever we do. If we're going to serve God in any capacity, in any way or anything, we need God's touch on it. Listen, it's like standing here to sing, just like this couple sang today, me and my wife, and all these other folks, and the choir sings. Whether it's good or bad, if it's got God's touch on it, it'll be good every time. It'll bless you. It'll help you. Amen. I never forget, we was in singing one time over in North Carolina. And then God showed up, and that thing was going good. And folk was obeying the Spirit of God. And some folk got up there to sing, not to honor Him, not to glory Him, but to sing how good they were. Listen, you know what happened? As soon as they began to sing, the Holy Spirit left that place. He was done. It was over. We'd pack her up and go home. Amen. Without the touch of God on it, it's not going to go anywhere. The Bible said it'll be vain. Amen. And whatever we do, I want you to look in the decisions that we make and the directions that we want to go. As I was thinking about this message, I thought, I try to be very clingy and that to the Lord.
Yeah.
I need the Lord in everything that I do. I'll be honest with you, I left the house this morning. I said, Lord, I keep us safe on the way to church. And my wife was running late, and she drove 7, and I said, keep her safe too. And you say, preacher, do you really believe that? I really believe that. Listen, just in those simple things. But listen, in whatever we set out, the direction that we want to go, or the decisions that we've got to make. And let me say this, whether it's a family decision, a personal decision, or a church decision, God's got to be involved.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. God's got to be involved. We make decisions every day about what we're going to do, what you're going to wire, where you're going to go. I understand those. But you know, there's some things that's going to affect our life for the rest of our life. And you need to be looking and that to the Lord for the help in that thing. But listen, when we decide that we're going to serve Him, I do know that you might get a wild hire and that this is how I need to serve God. Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 16, the man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his step. Hey, listen, I was reminded this past week that years ago, I guess it's been, we were talking, me and my wife was talking about it, I guess it's been 20 years ago now that there's a church up in the country that wanted to vote on me as pastor, and I remember that. I believe that I could have got 100% back then, but you know what? God wasn't nowhere around that thing.
I believe that with all my heart. I told Kelly, I said, I don't believe God was in there. I really don't know for me to be there. It was in Job. We'll go up there and help him and preach to him. But God didn't want me there. He knew where I needed to be.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he knew my heart. He knew I wanted to pastor. And that's awful hard for a young man to have a church that wanted you to come and pastor and take the church. It was hard. I'll never forget. And I struggled. Kelly will tell you, I struggled. I mean, one minute I'd take it, one minute I wouldn't, one minute I wouldn't, one minute I wouldn't. And she said, well, won't you just make a decision? Like I said, she'll tell me how it is. And she said, won't you just make a decision and see how you feel about that? And back then, I worked a public job, and I remember standing there at my work bench as I was working on some stuff, and I said to myself, all right, I'm going to take that church. And man, I was miserable for 20 minutes. That's the most miserable that I've been for 20 minutes in a long time. And I mean, the more I thought about that, the more miserable that I become. And I mean, I was just in bad shape. And I finally said, I ain't going to take it. And then, phew. And I remember I went in there and I found me a phone. And I called my pastor and I said, hey, I'm not going to take that church. He said, you're old enough to know what God wants. And pretty well just hung the phone back up on me. He was short and to the point. Now, I tell you, if anybody ever know Brother Randy, he was short and to the point. And I tell you, I felt so good about that. But you know why? Because in that decision, I decided to let the Lord lead in that thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have to have a dependence upon the Lord. In every decision that we make and everything that we strike out to do for Him, we need God and that to bless it. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I remember learning this verse. Well, I'd been pastoring here for a while. But finally one day God just beat me over the head with this verse where He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Hey, if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to bring forth much fruit. But you know what He went on to say in that verse? For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
And boy, I remember when I learned that verse. I don't mean knew that verse in my head. I mean learned that verse in my heart. I'm talking about learning to lean on Him and look to Him and listen to Him in everything that we set out to do for Him. Sometimes people want to serve God in their own way, in their own capacity. But it don't work your way. It's got to work God's way. Folk, they sing good. They say, well, I'll make a group and I go sing. Well, maybe that's what God wants and maybe that ain't what God wants. You might be a better blessing than that to your local assembly than you would to be to somebody else. Sometimes God just has ways and that for folks. Lies. Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We can't direct ourselves. Hey, they said we can try and we can try to build and the psalmist said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build. Hey, there's some that were laboring and that to do the job, but if God didn't touch it, it wasn't going to get done. God didn't touch it. I kind of look at this church right here. And we're missing some today. I can look out on the crowd and see that we're missing some. But I remember when I come down here, they was 14. I still got the slips at the house where everybody voted on me. Yes and no and yes and all that. And lost three in the first 3 weeks and had 11. And turn around and look. Well, we're doing better than 11, ain't we?
Amen.
And we've seen folks saved.
Yeah.
Support more missions than we've ever supported. Amen. On more radio broadcasts, doing more work as a church than we've ever done. And Mark ain't got nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Mark ain't got a thing to do that. All I've tried to do is obey God and do what he wants. And that's what you've done. It's tried to obey God and do what he's wanted. And he'll continue and that to build a house. Hey, church, when we think that we've done the work, when we've accomplished the work, God will shut her down. And that'll be the end of it. But when we honor him and realize it's him, that's then, what was it he said in Matthew chapter 6? I believe it was. But he said, let your light therefore so shine before men that they may see your good works and honor your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Not that they'll honor you, not that they'll glory you or me, but that they'll honor God. Amen. For what he's done. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. But there must be a dependence. And that on the Lord, except the Lord build the house. Now there's plenty of room for this church to grow and plenty of room for us to do better and do more. There's always room for us to do more. Amen. I mean, hey, there's no doubt of that in my mind. There's room for me to do more and room for you to do more. And in this coming year, we are to do more and that for the Lord. John chapter 3, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Unless God touches it. Unless God touches it. I remember before Brother Ted passed away and went on to be with the Lord. One of the things that I learned from him is it always took the touch. He always talked about the touch of God. He'd say, son, you need the touch of God in your preaching. The church needs the touch of God. You just need a touch of God in your life. Listen, as Jacob taught on that this morning, basically down there in the Sunday school, I talked about how that you had to live close to God, serve God, love God's word, and pray. That's the only way to get the touch of God in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. If we're going to have sufficiency, it's going to be because of the Lord. I made mention of this down in the prayer room early this morning before Sunday school. That old song that we sing sometimes, I believe it's here in the Redback book if I can find it. Holy manna. And talks about, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And then that verse goes on to say, will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? Then it says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One will come down. Brent, hey, listen, let me find that here for just a minute. I love that old song. We grew up singing that when I was a kid. We sang that at church. And I remember that. And I didn't realize what that song was talking about. But boy, I'm telling you, when you really understand this song, it'll help you. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray that holy manna may be showered all around. Hey, listen, he talks about right here. He talks about will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word. Well, I'm telling you, unless God comes by when I'm preaching, when Brother Danny's preaching, Mitchell and Jeremiah, those men preaching, hey, listen, it's all going to be vain. It's going to be just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals without the touch of God on it. Hey, I'm telling you, listen, it takes a dependence and that upon the Lord. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that try to build it. Listen, Paul told Timothy over there, I believe it was, he told him in the book of 2 Timothy, the hours he was ending things. He said, I stood before Alexander the coppersmith. And he said, nobody stood with me.
That's right.
But the Lord.
That's right.
He said, the
Amen.
Lord was faithful to stand Amen. With me. You'll find, I believe it was, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and boy, he always preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ. I mean the death, burial, and the resurrection. Listen, he said in 2 Corinthians, that for 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Boy, I hope you know him today, amen. He's the one that can save you and make you worthy in that to go to heaven because of him today. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. He said the Lord had to open a door. He said, well, of course the Lord had to open a door to preach the gospel. But you know, when we look in Acts 16, he says, now when they had gone through Phygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So see, the Lord does the direction if we'll do the depending on him. Sometimes God, I believe most of the time God wants you to open your mouth and say something about him. But you know, every now and again, God don't want you to say anything. I don't know why God forbid him and that to go to Asia. I don't understand it. But I do know this, that if they would have went on to Asia, their trip would have not been fruitful if they would have went. You find the time when the nation of Israel, they decided that after they had rejected the Lord over there and going into the promised land, 10 of them come back and said, we can't go. And 2 said we could. Joshua and Caleb said that we could go. And 10 said we can't go. So it's going to be too hard. And there's giants over there in walled cities. And we're studying that on Wednesday night of the book of Joshua. They said, we just can't go. And so after God had told them what was going to happen, after God had let the plague strike those 10, and he told them he's going to let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They come to Moses and said, we're going to go. We're going to go anyway. We've got us army, and we're going to go. And Moses said, don't go. It's not going to be good if you go. Well, let's look at that. Let me find that right there real quick. Let me see if I can find where they were going to go on over in to the promised land, or try to go into the promised land there. Let me see, was it the book of Numbers? It's hard for me to remember sometimes where he talks about that in the book of Numbers. Yes, it is. Numbers chapter 14. Look in verse 39. Now, Moses has told them everything's going to happen to them. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel and the people, mourned greatly, should have mourned greatly to start with for the shape that they were in. Then they might have got over there. In other words, when you mourn for the shape that you're in, you know, sometimes you need to realize the shape that you're in, mourn for it, and get right with God. Verse 40, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised. For we have sinned. Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because they are turned away, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Now, what did we study about Wednesday night about the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord? Ark of the Covenant of the Lord carried the promise of God, carried the presence of God, and carried the power of God.
Amen.
And where that ark went, you found those Amen. Three things.
Amen.
But right here, the Bible said that they presumed. A lot of people do a lot of presuming in the work of God. Amen. Well, you know, it's good. God will bless it. If we just put forth a little effort, God will bless it. Some people want God to bless it with no effort, and I'll deal with that here in a minute. But they presumed to go up to the top, to the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the Lord, Moses, departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites, which dwelled in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. God had nothing to do with it. God had nothing to do with it. And so since God, you know, we go back, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain, that build it. They wanted to go on into the promised land, but God didn't want them to go then. God wanted them to go before, and they said, we won't go. So God said, okay, have it your way. I'll let you wander around, let your carcasses die over there in the wilderness, and them children that you said is going to be a prey under the promised land, said, I'll let them go in, and they'll take the promised land. And we learned that from the book of Joshua. God had already smote the hearts of the Canaanites and the Jebusites and all those ites over there. Because when they went to talk to Rahab, she said, man, when we know to what God done over there when he brought you up out of the land of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, and what you done to Sihon and Og, the kings over there in the land of Canaan, those are the Canaanites. Said, when we heard all that, that was 40 years ago, church.
Yeah.
Now, most of y'all already know that. What Rahab's talking about was 40 years ago. Said, our hearts melted. That our hearts melted. You know, I'm determined that God wants to build a house for some people, and they just won't go. They just won't go. But listen, though, except the Lord build a house. Hey, whatever we set out to do and act for the Lord, he must put his touch on it and his hand on it, or it won't go anywhere. So we need the blessing of the Lord. Need his touch. We need his touch. How do we get his touch? How do we get the touch? And that of God on what we're going to do for him. Or what we're even going to do for ourselves. And what I mean, how we're going to live. I remember I told y'all this, or told some of you this. I remember I like to wear my wife out. I was going to buy a sawmill one time, Brother Steve. I was going to buy a sawmill. And I had that in my mind. I was going to do that. And man, I talked to people that had sawmills, and folk that their family had sawmills, and folk that worked in them. And everybody I talked to said, you don't want one of them things. I mean, you're going to have to work. But me and my buddy, we was going to buy one. We was about determined to get one. And man, I like to wore my wife out talking about something. And you know what? One day it just came to me. I thought to myself, you know what? If I'm going to buy one, I might as well talk to the Lord about this thing. I mean, I hadn't talked to the Lord yet. I mean, I talked all about it, but I hadn't talked to him about it. And so I found myself in my study one day, and I began to pray. And before I could ever get done praying, the big no come from heaven. And you know what? And he said, don't even pray about it no more. I don't want you to have one. I said, okay. Preacher, the Lord really, he really did. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe it never would have prospered if I'd went ahead. Now, do you talk to the Lord about them simple things? I do. I was going to drop some money. I have a lot of money.
Amen.
You're going to buy something else. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. You better learn how to talk to him.
Amen.
You better learn how to look to him and lean on him and listen to him.
Yeah.
You better learn to listen to God. We do a lot of talking a lot of times, but we don't do a lot of listening.
Amen.
Amen. I cost myself $300 one time because I was a talking instead of listening. Huh? That's a lot of money to a Baptist preacher, $300. Yeah. I can buy a lot of fried chicken with it.
Amen.
I mean, I can't. Listen, I can. But look, we need to do a lot more listening than we do talking. What was it that the book of James tells us over there to be slow to wrath, but be quick to hear? Huh? You know, we need to be quick on those things. To listen to what God has to say. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Lord, is this the direction you want me to go? And then wait for God to move. Wait for God and that to speak to you. And if he says go, then what you do? You go. You listen, and then you go to work. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build. All right, now notice there's some folk right here that is building and laboring. Now, God, now I know that God can work without me, and I know that God will work without me, but I do know this, that he's not going to bless me and bless the work that I'm in if I'm lazy.
Amen.
He expects us to labor at our own work. He expects us to labor at the work that he's given us that he might bless it. If you take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I don't know what God wants you to do. All I get from God sometimes is just go forward. Just go forward. Quit backing up and go forward. So you know what I've been trying to do? Go forward. Just keep doing what I know to do. And when I know to do something different, I'll do something different. Amen. But until then, I'm going to go forward. But I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul said. Let's look right here. Let's just start in verse 6. He said, I planted, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. He said, verse 6, I planted pause water, but God gave the increase. So now we see something right here. What did he say? He said, I planted and Apollos watered. Somebody had to work, didn't they? Right? I mean, Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Look what he says in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward, how? According to his own labor.
Right.
For we, now watch what verse 9 says. This is the verse I wanted to get to. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. He said we are labor, church, we're laborers together with God. Laborers together with him. We'll expect God to do his part, but we don't want to do our part. Right?
Right, come on.
Right, now, boy, it's getting good, ain't it? We're going to shout before it's over. Huh? Maybe I ought to go back and sing Brethren We've Met to Worship. Amen. Listen, we honestly do. I do. I expect God to do his part. But I'm going to be honest with you, church. God expects us to do our part. He expects us to labor. He expects us to work. He expects us to pray. He expects us to read our Bible. He expects us to look to him. He expects us to lean on him. He expects us to do our part. I don't think the church will grow anymore until you start inviting people. Until I start inviting people. I mean, it's why we print them tracts back there. Why we print them, I'm telling you, what I call them non-confrontational invitations, you know. I mean, that's on purpose, man, for them to be non-confrontational. Well, I mean, I want folk to take them. I want folk to receive them and put them in their head. And it's got everything about the church on the front and the back and then the Word of God on the inside. Hand them out. Call you family. Call your neighbors. Talk to folk that you work with. Here's something that I've learned, that if we'll be faithful and that to witness, faithful and that to visit, God always has a way of sending folk to the church. I've seen that too much. Every time that we spend time on visitation, or I spend time even personally and that knocking on doors or inviting folk to come to church, it may not be the people I invited, but God has a way of putting people in here. Now that is the funniest thing I've ever seen. How God does that. I don't know how he does it, but I know that he does it. But we can't expect him to do anything in our work if we're not willing to work. I'll never forget, I had a 78 Chevrolet pickup truck. And the heater core went bad on that thing. Man, it's about as cold as it is now. I mean, it's about 0 degrees at times. And I come in, and I don't know, I was a teenager, and I come in, and Daddy knew that thing was bad, and he said, you ready to change that thing? I said, no, I got some other things that I need to go on and do. Now, see, now he's the one that's going to do most of the work on this, okay? I'm going to stand out there and hand him some wrenches, and he's going to do most of the work. I mean, I was a teenager. I didn't know. And you know what he done? He said, okay, if that's what you want to do. And he knew what was coming. He knew that cold weather was coming. And so you know what he done? He let me ride around in about a week and a half of sub-zero degree weather in that old Chevrolet truck with no heater. And one good sunny day, he come to me. He said, are you ready to change that heater cord? And I said, yes, sir, I am. About 30 minutes. 30 minutes it was in and out. Four bolts, jerked the cover off, pulled the old one out, sent the new one in, put the four bolts back on, and you know what? I was ready. But I had too many other things to do the first go around. And sometimes God will let us ride around cold.
Amen.
Put us on the backside of a desert and let us get dry when we want to do it our way and not his way. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 said, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. We still got to work. We just need the touch of God on it. There's still work for us to do. Hey, listen, somebody's got to play the instrument. Somebody's got to lead the singing and teach Sunday school. Somebody's got to visit. Somebody's got to preach. Somebody's got to do the work of God. Somebody got to come up here and sing in the choir.
Amen.
Let me encourage you to come up here and sing with a smile on your face and joy in your heart. You say, well, the people looking at us ain't that way. If we'll get a smile on our face and joy in our heart, they might look back at us that way. Amen. Just being honest. I hate to look at a choir and everybody up there singing just look like they got the mully grubs and don't know what they're singing about. Man, that's sad. Hey, we need to touch a God on our choir singing. Amen. I've seen the days when he blow through here and he shows up and the touch of it is on the choir singing. Proverbs chapter 24, Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. People say, well, if I don't do the work of God, then somebody else will. Will they? Does God always let a work continue? Does God always let something work on? If he wants it to, it will. He'll raise somebody else up.
Amen.
If you don't want to do it, he'll raise somebody else up and put them in your place when it should have been your blessing and that to receive. The Bible said that the sluggard will not plow by the reason of the cold. Boy, it's cold. He said, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Always got a reason not to serve God. Always got a reason. The sluggard has always got a reason to not labor. But there's labor and that in the work of God. I'm going to show you. Take a Bible, I'm going to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I'm going to close, okay? I'm getting close, okay? I was reading, I believe it's the book of Philippians the other day, and I was reading in it. I preached out of the book of Philippians. Was it Philippians I preached? I believe it was the book of Philippians that I preached out of the other day and over at the nursing home. And Paul uses the word finally twice in two different chapters. And I think there in one chapter he said finally. And man, he wrote on a while and said finally again. And so y'all know that I say sometimes we're going to get closed. And then 15 minutes later we're going to get closed again. But I want you to look in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he's heard the shape that Jerusalem is in. And he's seen that, and he's going to see the shape that Jerusalem is in. And if you read chapter 1, and we don't have time to read it, and that for the sake of time, but you find that that he prays, he talks to the Lord about what he ought to do. He talks to the Lord about, he's heard about the shape that that Jerusalem's in and the walls are in. And the Bible said in verse 4, he said, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So he began to seek and that God's direction for what he needed to do. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. As he's standing before Artaxerxes, the king, he begins to talk to him. And he said, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou request? And he said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king. So what did he do? He said, pray. He said, the king asked me what I wanted to do. So he said, I prayed. The very first thing I did was pray. You know, sometimes you ought to just, well, not sometimes, all the time, we ought to just start it out in prayer. I watch one church sometimes out of North Carolina. And man, they the prayingest church I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, they'll pray to open up service, choir will be singing, and the next thing you know, the preacher steps up to the podium and says, let's pray, church. And then they'll sing two or three more, and the next thing you know, he's liable to step up to the podium and say, let's pray again. They're the prayingest people I've ever seen. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think you can pray too much. I really don't. But listen, Nehemiah prayed. But you know what? Finally, Nehemiah got his answer. You know, you don't need to pray about something when you got your answer. You need to go do it when you get your answer. You get, hey, quit praying about it. Quit talking about it. And just go do what God wants you to do. So Nehemiah, first of all, he prayed about it. If you look in verse 5, he
finds out that it's going to take labor. He knew that it was going to take labor and that to work. By the time he gets to Jerusalem, you look in verses 11 through 17, you'll find out that he goes out there and he surveys the situation. Amen. He don't jump into something head over heels until he realizes what's going on. You ever seen somebody walk in on something and man, they're gung-ho from the start. I mean, they're wide open, they're ready to go, but they don't know nothing about it. They don't even know if God is involved in the situation. I talked to somebody about that one day. I got to be careful here, but I wanted to do something for God. Wanted to do something, and I told my wife, I said, as a church, and it's going to take all of us to make it happen, and I said, as a church, we'll do it if that's what they feel like that their calling is from God. But I said, this ain't going to be my calling. Because I sure don't feel it. And I talked to the Lord. And that thing never came to fruition. Not because I didn't support it. But because I didn't pray about it. I don't believe God's hand was on it. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful about that stuff. It may sound good and it may look good. But you know what? You know what Nehemiah done? He went out and he surveyed the whole situation. What he was getting involved in. He looked at it. And you know what? He didn't change his mind. He didn't say, God wants me to do something different. You know, a lot of times people hear all the good things, and then when they get out there in the middle of the battle, then God hadn't put them where they're at. You ever seen that? And the one month, God wants them to do this, and the next month, God wants them to do this, and the next month, God wants them to do this. God don't work that way. No, sir, no, ma'am. God don't work that way. He gets you involved in the work and gets you started and gets you working at it. Amen. And when that work gets done, then he'll move you on to something else. If that work gets done. Some work is ongoing. Say amen right there. I'm telling the truth. But I want you to look in verse 18. He has went out and surveyed this whole situation, but he's not told anybody until we get to verse 18. He said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Now look at that. Nehemiah said, look, he said, I've talked to the elders of the city, and he said, I've told them how good God's hand is upon me. And he said, as also the words that he had spoken unto me, talking about the king's words there, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But it was a work. Nehemiah said, God's hand is on this thing. I know it is. And he said, we need to get ready to go to work. What are we doing? We're building the walls of Jerusalem right here. If you've ever studied the book of Nehemiah, and I've taught that two or three times. Mm-hmm. At least this portion of it. In verse 19, we find that there's persecution or ridicule that comes, and it turns into persecution later. But in verse 20, we find that he had confidence in the Lord because he said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, no right, no more in Jerusalem. He's talking about those outside of Jerusalem. He said, we're going to rise and be them. And so you find in the next few chapters that he delegated out the work. And they begin to build the walls of Jerusalem. And let me say this, that it took all of them. Amen. Nehemiah couldn't have built them walls by himself. Right. Do you know there's some work that you can do by yourself and you can get it done? Do you know there's other work that we do that we can't do by ourselves? Oh, I'm the pastor of the church and I'm the one that you see all the time. But I can't do all this by myself. Amen. I can't teach every Sunday school class. I can't play every instrument at the same time. Huh? I can't do all the preaching. Every now and again I am going to get sick. Amen. And sometimes God wants somebody else to do the preaching every now and again. I can't visit everybody in Athens and McMinn and Monroe and Polk County. I can't visit everybody. I can't be back there to run that board and film everything and do it all. Hey, it takes every bit of us to make this work go. It takes every bit of us. It takes your money to put us on the radio. Amen. Do you know that? Takes your money and my money to support every missionary that we got back there. It takes all of us to make it happen.
That's right.
So Nehemiah delegated out the work to build the wall. He surveyed the situation. Then he delegated the work. And you know what the Bible said? That they went to work. You look in chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah, and the Bible said so in verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now what am I talking about? Except the Lord. Now you remember what Nehemiah told him at the very beginning? He prayed about it, then he had God's hand on him, and then they went to work. And the people had the mind to work. They had never built the wall. And we're going to learn here in a minute. In 52 days, if the people would have never had the mind to work. I always thought that was amazing scripture. They went over there and people wanted to work. You know what? It's easier to come to church when everybody else wants to come to church. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I had to come in here and none of you all wanted to be here, I wouldn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. It's easier to work when somebody else is working right there beside you, ain't it? Huh? Ain't it easier to work? I mean, if you've got a shovel in your hand and your neighbor's got a shovel in his hand, don't you want him shoveling as much as your shovel? Well, I'm just being honest. I don't want to have to do all the lifting. I don't have to do all the work. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? We need God's hand on it. Because there's always going to be people to come by in verse 8 to hinder it in chapter 4. But they had a mind to work. He delegated out the work. And if you look at the people, they did the work. And then if you get a few chapters over, I believe it's in chapter 6. Now watch this right here. In chapter 6, look in verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. They finished the work in 52 days. They built a wall all the way around the city of Jerusalem that was broke down, burnt down, and everything else. And in 52 days, because the people had a mind to work, they worked. But look in verse 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. When God puts his hand on something, even the world can tell that God's got his hand on it. Huh?
That's right.
Even God can tell. I mean, even the world can tell that God's got his hand on it. I'd like to see this coming year. I'd like to see us do more than what we've ever done. I mean, I really would as a church. I didn't plan this message as a yearly message. Sometimes I do, but this year I didn't. But I'd love to see us just go and work and do and have God's hand on it. Because I know that it'll prosper. And by the way, prospering according to God's plan and according to our eyes is not always the same thing, by the way. You know, Nehemiah prospered and built it in 52 days. But you know, sometimes you got to work at something. I mean, honestly work and strive to get it done. To make it happen. Psalms 127. He said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I don't know what you're setting out to do or what you want to do or what God's calling you to do. But I know this, without the touch of God, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to go. Without the blessing of the Lord on it, on our church, on me, on you, on our family, whatever it is, without the blessing of the Lord on it, it ain't going to go. It ain't going to accomplish. And all I want on my life, I'll be honest with you, all I want on my life is the touch of God. I want it on my family's life. I want it on my life. I want it on this church. I just want the touch of God on it so that we can go and serve Him however that is. I want to go and serve Him. Let's bow our heads today, church.